Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall23, back with another video. I'm doing another series, or another video in the series against Calvinism, explaining why Calvinism and all the doctrines associated with it are false. So again, I'm going to be going through the different letters in the acronym TULIP, which defines, you know, basically what Calvinism is. And TULIP would be total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. So I've talked about the first three. So today I'm going to be talking about irresistible grace, explaining what that means and explaining why it is a false doctrine and is not what the Bible teaches. So we've seen the other things, why those things are false, why total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement are false. If you haven't watched those yet, go back and watch those videos before watching this one, because this does build upon the things that we've already talked about. And really, irresistible grace kind of falls apart if these other things fall apart, because it builds on the idea that Jesus only died for certain people. God has chosen certain people to be saved, because irresistible grace in a nutshell is just the idea that those people that God has chosen to be saved or has chosen to be elect, those people God has given his grace to, and they cannot resist it. There's nothing they can do to not be saved. Basically, it's not up to them. Basically, God just forces them to be saved. That's basically irresistible grace in a nutshell. So again, I'm going to start off with defining it from the mouth of Calvinists themselves. So it says on gotquestions.org, it defines irresistible grace as the following. It says, simply put, the doctrine of irresistible grace refers to the biblical truth that whatever God decrees to happen will inevitably come to pass, even in the salvation of individuals. The Holy Spirit will work in the lives of the elect so that they will inevitably will come to faith in Christ. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit never fails to bring to salvation those sinners whom he personally calls to Christ. At the heart of this doctrine is the answer to the question, why does one person believe the gospel and another does not? Is it because one is smarter, has better reasoning capabilities, or possesses some other characteristic that allows him to realize the importance of the gospel message? Or is it because God does something unique in the lives of those whom he saves? If it is because of what the person who believes does or is, then in a sense, he is responsible for his salvation and has a reason to boast. No, he doesn't, because we are not justified by works. We are justified by faith, okay? Having faith in Jesus is not something to boast about, okay? The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Anyway, however, if the difference is solely that God does something unique in the hearts and lives of those who believe in him and are saved, then there is no ground for boasting, and salvation is truly a gift of grace. Of course, the biblical answer to these questions, it's not biblical, as we'll see in a moment, but it says, is that the Holy Spirit does do something unique in the hearts of those who are saved. The Bible tells us that God saves people according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, those who believe the gospel and are saved do so because they have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. So again, we have this concept of regeneration preceding faith, which I've talked about in several videos before. So basically, they define it as, well, irresistible grace, that means that people believe the gospel because they have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, and God basically gives them the grace. They can't resist it. They can't do anything about it because God has already chosen and decreed that they will be one of God's elect. So because God has already chosen that, it will surely happen. So the people that God has chosen and has died for, they will surely be saved no matter what, basically, is what it's saying here. Ligonier Ministries defines it as the following. It says about irresistible grace, it is not that the Holy Spirit drags people kicking and screaming to Christ against their wills. The Holy Spirit changes the inclination and disposition of our wills so that whereas we were previously unwilling to embrace Christ, now we are willing and more than willing. Indeed, we aren't dragged to Christ. We run to Christ and we embrace him joyfully because the Spirit has changed our hearts. So again, they're saying that people only believe in Jesus because first the Spirit has changed them. They are no longer the hearts of stone that are impervious to the commands of God and to the invitations of the gospel. God melts the hardness of our hearts when he makes us new creatures. The Holy Spirit resurrects us from spiritual death so that we come to Christ because we want to come to Christ. The reason we want to come to Christ is because God has already done a work of grace in our souls. Without that work, we would never have any desire to come to Christ. That's why we say that regeneration precedes faith. So again, like I said before, this builds upon some of the doctrines we've already talked about of total depravity, He's basically saying here that it's impossible for somebody who is unregenerate to come to Christ on their own. So God has to first change their heart for them to believe in Jesus. And it's based on, you know, those who God has elected. Those who God has elected, they're the ones that the Holy Spirit changes the heart of, basically. So what does the Bible say about this? Well, the Bible tells us that grace is bestowed upon those who believe, but the Bible also tells us that it is offered to all. Now, the way that they define grace, as if you pay attention in these quotes here, where he says that he did a work of grace in our souls, basically. So they believe that grace is given first, and that grace that God shows, because grace means unmerited favor, that it's not based on any works, basically. That's not something you can earn. That's what grace means. So basically they say, well, God has chosen somebody based on no condition to be saved, and God shows grace to that particular person who he has chosen. And God's grace means that he regenerates them. He does a work of grace in their souls, as Ligonier Ministry said, and then causes them to be regenerated. So basically, instead of you believe on Jesus and then you receive the grace of God and have eternal life, rather they believe that God chooses who's going to be saved. He shows them grace and then they believe. So it's completely backwards. But the Bible says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Okay, we already talked about in the last video that when the Bible says all men, that's not just talking about believers. That's not just talking about the elect. Okay, the grace of God has been shown to everybody, because as the Bible says, Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. See, it's offered to everybody. But the way that we receive God's grace is through faith in him. We have to believe before God shows us grace and gives us grace. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's by grace through faith, not by faith through grace, which is funny, because I've actually run into Calvinists out soul winning who will say it backwards, because in their mind it is backwards. They think that, well, you receive the grace of God and then you believe. No, it's you believe and then you receive the grace of God because you have believed Jesus. Okay. And one example of this, one way that we can know that grace is only bestowed upon those who believe is that the Bible talks about people who are called into the grace of Christ who might not even be saved. In the book of Galatians, when Paul comes to the realization that a lot of people in the churches of Galatia probably aren't saved because they are being deceived by these false prophets who are teaching work salvation. And they are thinking that maybe they have to do these other works and get circumcised and things like that to be saved. He says at the beginning of the book of Galatians in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Now, in the gotquestions.org definition of irresistible grace, he said that anybody that God, you know, calls to grace, or anybody that God calls to be saved, basically, or the Holy Spirit moves to be saved, they will surely be saved, basically. But it tells us here that these people are called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, okay, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul, later in the book of Galatians, expresses his doubts about whether these people are actually God's people, whether they're actually saved, because of the fact that they have been removed unto another gospel, okay? Because as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that about the gospel by which you are saved, if ye keep in remembrance that which I preach unto you. That's kind of a paraphrase, but basically he's explaining that if somebody leaves the gospel, then that person was never saved to begin with, as explained in 2 John, where it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, okay? So it's not saying that the person lost their salvation, because nobody can lose their salvation. But if we see somebody who claims to believe the doctrines of Christ and claims to believe in Jesus, and then they leave that, they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, the Bible says that person does not have God, meaning they were never of God in the first place. So he talks about these people who are called into the grace of Christ. So it's not that they're not called, okay? The Calvinist says that anybody that's called is going to be saved because they've been chosen by God. It says they're called into the grace of Christ. The grace of God has appeared to all men. These people have been shown the grace of God. It's been explained to them. It was offered unto them. but they were moved into another gospel. The Bible says they have not God. So later in the book of Galatians, Paul expresses his concerns about their salvation. He says in Galatians 4:11, I am afraid of you, meaning not like he's scared of them in the sense that we would say it, but he says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So he's basically worried that his efforts in trying to get them saved is completely vain, basically. Like, it didn't work. It didn't really do anything. Galatians 5:4, it says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So again, the grace was offered to them, but they are fallen from grace because they try to justify themselves by the law. So these people within the churches of Galatia who had been removed from the grace of Christ into another gospel, they did not abide in the doctrine of Christ. They are trying to be justified by the law. According to the Bible, Christ is of no effect unto them. Okay. Now, it doesn't say that they never had grace or that the grace was never offered to them, basically. It just said they are fallen from grace. They did not actually receive grace, but the grace was offered unto them because the grace or the gift of eternal life is offered to everybody. But the Bible says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The condition to being saved and actually receiving the grace of God and the gift of eternal life is faith in Jesus. As it says again in Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. So again, the Calvinists have it backwards. They say, well, you need to, it's not about anything you do, but first God shows you the grace. He shows you the grace, and then he basically regenerates your heart, and then the evidence of that or the result of that is that you want to come to Christ, so you believe in him, basically. Well, we see that's opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the gift is offered to anybody. It's whosoever will, but somebody has to believe because we have access into this grace by faith, as it says in Romans 5:2 and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So regeneration does not precede faith. And they will use that scripture, Titus 3:5, which in one of the definitions I was reading, they quoted Titus 3:5 from a false Bible version. But in the King James Version, it says, verses 5-7, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, first of all, again, the Bible tells us that we're justified by his grace, but we have access into that grace by faith. So first you have to have faith in order to receive that grace. So in order to be justified by grace, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. That is the condition for salvation. We've talked about that so many times over these last few videos. So he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the way that the Calvinists interpret this is that, well, first the Holy Ghost regenerates you and then you are saved. Okay. But the Bible teaches, again, something completely different, that it's the opposite. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So to become a son of God and to be born of God, you have to believe on his name. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So how are we the children of God? By faith. Okay, how do we become a child? Because you believe on his name, you receive him. The Bible says to the person who receives him, believes him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. It's not he gives them power to become the sons of God, and then they want to be saved. So then, you know, after that, and so then they go and they believe. No, it's you believe, then you become a son of God. You're born of God. Okay. So again, it's opposite of what Calvinism teaches. John chapter 3, verses 3-8, talking about being born again. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So this is the primary passage about being born again. And Jesus tells Nicodemus very clearly in that chapter what what he has to do to be born again, where he says, believe, you know, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do you enter into the kingdom of God? By being born again. Well, how are you born again? By believing on Jesus, by believing on his name, by receiving him as your savior. And then when you do that, then you are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If thou believe, or if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Okay, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So salvation comes when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So in Titus chapter 3, when it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not saying, well, the Holy Ghost regenerates and changes you, and that's what causes you to be saved. Rather, it's you believe in Jesus, and then you're saved, then you're regenerated. Okay, these two things take place in a moment. So again, it's completely backwards. Another thing I want to talk about, because you know, by now it's pretty much clear that this doctrine of irresistible grace is wrong. But another important aspect of this, which I could have talked about in the unconditional election video, but I chose to wait till now just so I had more content for this one, is the concept of the book of life. Because the thing is, again, the Calvinists believe that God has chosen certain people to be saved, and it's just based on his own sovereign will, no condition, no foreknowledge. God just chooses certain people, they're going to be saved, and then he died for them, and then he regenerates them, and therefore they want to believe, and they can't resist that grace. You know, it's completely 100% up to God who's saved and who goes to heaven. Them believing is not something that they can resist. It's not their choice. It's God causes them to believe. He causes them to want it by giving them a new heart through regeneration. But the Bible teaches that there is such thing as a book of life. And the Bible tells us that the Bible never talks about names being added into the book of life, but only names being removed from the book of life. Okay. Now, this is completely contrary to Calvinism and what it teaches, because in Calvinism, it's already set before the foundation of the world who is saved and who is damned. Okay, there's nothing we can do about it, right? But the Bible tells us very clearly that there are people who can be removed from the book of life. Okay, so the book of life doctrine completely contradicts Calvinism. We'll see this in the Bible. It says in Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The Bible defines what it means to overcome in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, so to believe in Jesus is what it means to overcome. And the Bible says, if you overcome, then you will not have your name blotted out of the book of life. Now, if the names were already who are in the book of life were already decided before the foundation of the world, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's not up to the individual. It's 100% just up to the sovereign will of God, like the Calvinists teach. Then what would be the purpose of saying that he will not blot out his name out of the book of life if nobody's blotted out of the book of life, because God already chose who's going to be saved before the foundation of the world? But the Bible actually does talk about people being blotted out. It says in Psalm chapter 69, verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. It says in Revelation 22:19, the last chapter of the Bible, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So the Calvinists would agree that once somebody's saved, they are always saved. They can never lose their salvation if they're truly one of God's elect. I would agree with that. So it's not saying that somebody is in the book of life and that means they're saved and then they're going to lose their salvation if they tamper with God's words. You can't lose your salvation. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He said, he shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So without a doubt, the Bible teaches that somebody who is saved by believing on Jesus, they are saved forever. They will not come into condemnation. They have eternal life. They will never perish. So when the Bible talks about people being taken out of the book of life, this is talking about people who are unsaved who lose their chance to be saved. Now, the Calvinist teaches that people who are unsaved and are not chosen by God before the foundation of the world, they never have a chance to be saved because God has to regenerate them first in order for them to believe. And if he didn't choose them to be saved and didn't die for them, then that's never going to happen. He's never going to change their hearts, okay? Because it's not up to us. It's 100% up to God who is saved and who is damned. But this teaches that somebody can change their eternal destiny by tampering with God's word. See, if there's an unsaved person out there who takes words out of the book of this prophecy, the book of Revelation, God promises that he will curse him by having his name blotted out of the book of life. Now, in order for somebody's name to be blotted out of the book of life, that would mean that they were in the book of life, okay? So that means this person, before the foundation of the world, was already in the book of life. They are blotted out only because of their actions, because of their decisions. So it's not so that there's just every person who is saved, God chose them to be saved before the foundation of the world. No, we have a decision to believe in Jesus, and that's how we have access into God's grace. And that's how we are saved, by believing in Jesus. And if somebody denies the Lord Jesus Christ, that they commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, they tamper with God's words, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. It was already in the book of life from the foundation of the world because everybody's name is in the book of life. Okay. But once somebody loses their chance to be saved, whether it's through reprobation, becoming a reprobate by blaspheming the Holy Ghost, by rejecting the Lord, or by dying in the flesh, by dying in their sins, when that happens, they are blotted out of the book of life. Okay. So that's all I have to say for this irresistible grace video. So I see a few comments here. I'll just quickly talk about them. Hey, brother, caught this live. Thank you. Your last two videos, I'm going to watch this. All right, nice. Jacob Nimi, can you explain the difference between the Trinity and oneness? That's not really the subject of this video, but since you're here, I'll just do it then. Oneness teaches that God is only one person. That's false. God is three persons. That's the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Three persons, one God. Oneness is three modes, one God, one person. That's false. Oneness, modalism, is not true. Calvinism is just the doctrine that somebody, or that everybody who's saved has been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. God has elected them only according to their to his will, not their will. And he basically causes them to be saved by regenerating their heart, and because he only died for them, so they don't believe Jesus died for everybody. Just watch the series that I've been putting out for the last couple weeks. What do you tell someone that says they believe in the Godhead, but not the Trinity? Nobody knows who is saved until it happens to them and their life is changed. That's wrong. The Bible says, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you can know you have eternal life if you believe on the name of the Son of God, because the Bible says, whosoever believeth shall be saved. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you don't know if you're saved, then you don't believe what Jesus clearly said, that it's once you believe, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. See, if you think that there's still something else you have to do, then you're denying Jesus' promise. You don't believe what Jesus clearly said. But yeah, so that's it for this video. Thank you, everybody, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.